refuge in him, because he's obviously the ultimate power and nothing can overcome him. This is the reason why, in general terms, we've been asked to seek refuge in God. Now, the question arises as to why is it that we've been asked to seek refuge, not specifically in God, but in the three attributes, that God from the point of view of these three attributes, meaning seek refuge in his lordship, his rububiyat, his malikiyat, or his sovereignty, as well as his uluhiyat, or his divinity. Right. So let's start with his rububiyat, his rububiyat and his lordship over human beings. Obviously, God Almighty is, when we say God Almighty is the Rabb or the Lord of human beings, it means he's the person who sustains them and takes care of them, right? So, and takes care of all their needs. So therefore, obviously, he is the person, or he is the being to whom we should seek refuge in when we come face to face with this danger. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We're examining the first three verses of Surah Nas. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear listeners of this program Lantern, thank you very much for joining us. The title of today's story in this part is The Dog and the Oyster. There was once a dog who was very fond of eggs. He visited the hen house very often and at the last got so greedy that he would swallow the eggs whole. One day the dog wandered down to the seashore. There he spied an oyster. In a twinkling, the oyster was resting in the dog's stomach, shell and all. It pained the dog a good deal. As you can guess, I've learned that all round things are not eggs, he said, groaning. Act in haste and repent at leisure, and often in pain. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
The Holy Quran highlights the case that some other people, especially, the communities that appeared before the advent of Islam, they showed this kind of moral trait. And because of this, they received the punishment, of course, after a time. And it was because this characteristic, horridness, is really abominable. At the same time, we find that in the case of the Prophet Moses, as indicated in the Holy Quran, some people were really in a hurry and urged the Prophet Moses that they wanted to see God in person and in material manifestation. And because of the insistence in this regard, they received a very strange, severe punishments. And the case is very much elaborated in the Holy Quran. Now we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes answers some of those, the effects of some people's being in a hurry. And they may receive, they may reach the needs, especially the material needs, rather fast, in a very fast way. However, we find that in the case of faithful communities, they've been instructed to show forbearance and patience and tolerance. This is because those people who are faithful are usually people of reflection and people of consideration. From this, we find that an instance is that the Prophet Jonah, Yunus, received some people's, his own people's anger because of inviting them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that, at the same time, because of sleep, he received some examination from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he got entangled and imprisoned in the abdomen of a very large fish, of a whale, for around 40 days. And during that time, he started in the abdomen of a very large whale, he started offering prayers to God so that he would be rescued. And had it not had been because of his sincere repentance, he was destined to remain in the abdomen of the whale forever and ever. This is indicated in the Surah As-Safat, verses 139 to 145, in the Surah Al-Qalam, verses 48 and 49, and the Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 87, and other places in the Holy Quran.
The lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
At the same time, we find that, such a kind of being in a hurry is highlighted in the case of the community of the Prophet Moses, the earliest Jewish community. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala marks in the Holy Quran that that characteristic was really very abominable. At the same time, we find that in the case of the Islamic history, we find that some people in some of the battles inflicted against the earliest Muslim community, some Muslims in the earliest Islamic community wanted to reach military victory over the opponents as soon as possible, almost instantly. And the Holy Quran in many places instructs people to show forbearance and to look for the better and more bright future, rather than receiving whatever they want almost instantly. In our daily lives, we find that we may consider some people who are really very restless, and they want to reach the desired effects almost as soon as possible. Now we find that according to a prophetic statement, إِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ النَّاسَ الْعَجَلَةِ وَلَوْ كَانَ أَنَّ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ كَانَ أَنَّ النَّاسَ تَثَبَّتُوا لَمْ يَحْلِكْ أَحَدٌ. In fact, being in a hurry led people to destruction and deterioration. And had it not had been some people who show forbearance, the whole community, had it not had been because of some people who show forbearance, other people wouldn't receive any harm. The whole community would be established. At the same time, we find that sabr or patience has got so many meanings and senses in the Islamic instructions. So one of them is, for example, being patient in not answering positively to Satan for being tempted by him. That is, giving a strong negative answer to satanic temptations. Another sense of sabr or patience is being willing to receive the divine favor at the proper time that it will come to us. And another one is being not that in haste to do everything ahead of its time. We find that sometimes in all of the, throughout the Holy Quran, we find that in the cases of the Quranic accounts of the lives and times of the divine prophets, as well as other personalities to whom references are made in the Holy Quran, we find that in this connection, those people who have been successful, they are those people who have been patient enough in order to wait for the divine respite and the divine compensation. Thank you.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ana bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub.
In the limelight.
Iran's growing political, economic, and cultural ties with the Persian Gulf states of Qatar and Oman provide an excellent model for regional cooperation. If only the other three members of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council, PGCC, including Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Bahrain, summon up the courage to reconsider their flood policies that are serving the vested interest of the U.S. and the illegal Zionist entity. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Kayhan, international staff writer. This article is published under the heading Iran-Qatar Set the Trend for Regional Cooperation. Stay tuned for more. Iran's growing political, economic, and cultural ties with the Persian Gulf states of Qatar and Oman, and to a lesser extent with Kuwait, provide an excellent model for regional cooperation, if only the other three members of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council, PGCC, including Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Bahrain, summon up the courage to reconsider their flood policies that are serving the vested interests of the United States and the illegal Zionist entity. The recent visit to Tehran of the Emir of Qatar, Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, at the head of a large delegation, and his talks with senior Iranian officials on various issues, including the chronic question of Palestine, is a firm indication in this regard. It was his second visit, following the one in January 2020, and he was granted an audience with the leader of the Islamic Revolution, who pointed out the need for expanding Tehran-Doha ties to their full capacity. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei stressed the necessity of increasing political and economic relations between Iran and Qatar, and stated that the way to resolve regional issues must be sought without the interference of foreign elements. Referring to the continuation of the crimes being committed by the Zionist regime against the people of Palestine, he said, "The Arab world is expected to explicitly enter into political action against these open crimes." Sheikh Tamim, who earlier this year in February had played host in Doha to Iranian President Dr. Sayed Ebrahim Raisi, reiterated the necessity to further solidify bilateral relations in a number of fields. As strongly condemned, along with the Iranian president in the joint press conference, the latest Zionist regime crime in the cold-blooded killing of Al Jazeera TV correspondent in Palestine, Shirin Abu Aghaleh. There are wide scopes of cooperation between Iran and Qatar, including in the media and sports fields, especially with the approach of the FIFA World Cup to be held in Doha from November 21st to December 18th. The Islamic Republic of Iran has made preparations to play host to thousands of football fans from all over the world in view of the limited capacity of hotels in Qatar, coupled with the short distance between Doha and the Iranian resorts on the Persian Gulf. Daily to and fro flights would be operating between the two countries to facilitate travel for the spectators. Iran and Qatar shared the giant Pars gas field in the Persian Gulf, and besides the export of wide-ranging Iranian products, including industrial and agricultural, plans are underway to lay a submarine freshwater pipeline from Bushehr to Doha. Qatar has one of the highest electricity consumptions in the world and is eager to connect its power grid to the Iranian network. Iran, which currently provides electricity to Iraq, the Caucasus Republic of Azerbaijan, Armenia, Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, has welcomed the move as a step towards strengthening energy diplomacy. Such cooperation, which is indeed a slap on the U.S. face, could serve as a model for other Persian Gulf states, provided they have the guts to rectify wrongs, such as the Saudi war on Yemen and the repression of the Bahraini nation by the Al Khalifa minority regime, as well as the unnatural ties between the fabricated regime of Israel, Abu Dhabi, and Manama.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah.
Islam has laid the foundation of man's life from before his birth. It has established the social foundations of the family and has laid down injunctions for man for the time that he lives in the family, for the time that he enters into education, to the time that he enters society, to the time that he has relations with other countries, with other governments, with other nations. All of these have a program. The holy laws contain provisions for all of these things. Islam does not constitute just praying and making pilgrimage.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the Islam and our deeds. In one of his speeches, Imam Khomeini mentions that today the most estranged thing in the world is Islam, and its salvation requires sacrifices. Pray that I will be one of those who are to be sacrificed. Now, we know that obviously Islam is a complete religion, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after him the infallible imams and his companions, and throughout the history there were many people who saved Islam, who brought Islam, and who sacrificed themselves for the Islam. Especially, we can see the role of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, where he sacrificed everything that he had for the sake of Islam, for the salvation of the Islam. Because even at that time, Islam was about to be finished by the enemies. But obviously, it was Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his struggle and his sacrifices that saved Islam. And therefore, Imam Hussein became a role model for everyone who is following the Islamic teachings, who wants to follow the Islamic teachings, not only the Islam, but also for the humanity.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala.
The Islam is not just talking about praying God. It talks about humanity. It talks about justice. It talks about the family system. It talks about the true social system, which should be applied and which is required. Therefore, Imam Khomeini is asking people in one of his speeches that pray that I also sacrifice myself or I'm be sacrificed in this path means I get martyr. Obviously, the sacrifice can have different meanings. Once someone wishes to be martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way Imam Hussein was martyred, so therefore it is a good thing to wish. It is a good thing to pray for. And this sacrifice means that a person is sacrificing his family life, he is sacrificing his personal desires in order to have Islam, in order to save Islam, in order to spread Islam in the society. And this is our duty being a Muslim in today's world, that where we have Islamophobia, we must struggle to spread Islam, but the true Muhammadan Islam, not the Islam which has been propagated by the West or by these so-called powers who are bringing the fake picture of the Islam like ISIS and other groups, but rather we need to show the true face of Islam, the Islam of peace, the Islam of completion, the Islam of perfection, the Islam that brings justice in the society, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
This is
for a better life.
For a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are welcome to For a Better Life with me, Javed Akbari. This natural universe is not eternal. It has started at a certain time and will reach its end at a certain time. We call this world a mortal world, a world which is not going to be to last forever. The earth, the sun, the moon, and all the stars, and all the planets, the constellations, will be destroyed before the resurrection. This fact is expressed by many verses of the Holy Quran. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, when the sun is covered, وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ, and when the stars darken, وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ, and when the mountains are made to pass away, وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ, and when the camels are left untended, وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشْرَتْ, and when the wild animals are made to go forth, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ, and when the seas are set on fire, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ, and when souls are united. So these verses are some of the verses which suggest that the world will be destroyed one day, sooner or later. But we have to believe We have to understand that this world and the life in this world is not permanent. It is mortal. The world is mortal. And whoever is born in this world is mortal. Allah Almighty said to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, قُلْ أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Tell the people that I am mortal like you. I am mortal like you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, everything in this universe has a certain end. Our bodies are mortal. Our physical lives, our powers, our youth, fame, and beauty are mortal. They are perishable. They are not going to last forever. Allah is eternal. Allah is the eternal being, and of course our spirits belong to the spiritual universe and not to the corporeal universe. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So our spirits belong to the spiritual realm, to the spiritual universe. That is going to be permanent. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. And they ask you about, a lot of people ask the Prophet, what is Ruh? What is the Spirit? So God said to the Prophet, they ask you about the Spirit. And so what you are going to say, tell them, قُلْ الرُّوحْ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. The Spirit is from the commands of my Lord. This is something related to God. No one knows what the nature of Ruh is. If we notice that our Spirit make our personality and reality, we easily come to the conclusion that death is not our end. Death is like a gate to another universe. Not only our spirits, but also our characters and acts will be preserved. Death is like a gate to another universe. We cannot obtain eternity and infinite life or endless pleasure in this world. If we want them, we should know they are due to the relationship with Allah. Because Allah is eternal, everything is related to Him in a narrow sense, speaking in a narrow sense. And everything is related to Him. And of course, the Quran says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانِي. Everyone on this world must pass away. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And there will endure forever the face of your Lord, the Lord of glory and honor. So, brothers and sisters, in Arabic, watch, because the Quran says, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, the word watch. Watch is that part of anything through which you can confront that thing. For example, if you confront the foot or hand of a person, you are not confronting and meeting him. But when you are confronting his face and have a kind of face-to-face sight, you confront and meet him. This is why in Arabic, our face is called wajh. In the case of Allah, we know that He has no body. So it is not necessary to look in a special direction to meet Him. In the glorious Quran, it is mentioned, and this fact is expressed by saying, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And for Allah is the east and the west. Therefore, whether you turn here and there, to the east or to the west, Allah is there. فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. The face of Allah is there. Surely Allah is ample giving and He is knowing. Let's have a break. We will be back.
Changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes, and we felt so very satisfied. We bought and bought and couldn't stop buying. We gave charity to the poor cause we couldn't stand the crying. We thought we paid our dues, but in fact to ourselves we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with
with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. Is it satisfied? Is Allah satisfied? Is Allah satisfied?
Dear brothers and sisters, as we can consider and use everything to know Him, to reach Him, so everything can be called Wajhullah. Those things which are considered in this way will never be destroyed, as we saw in the verse 26 of chapter 25, 27 of chapter 55. So every action or even intention which you have for His pleasure will be preserved, will be maintained. If you give some money to a poor person, this money will be destroyed. But that aspect of this money, or in other words, that aspect of this action, which is Wajhullah, will be preserved forever. So whatever you do for Allah's sake, whatever you intend to do for Allah's sake, and purely for pleasing Allah, will remain. It will not be destroyed. This present life in itself is one of the blessings of Allah. It is the only opportunity that we have. If we want to purify ourselves, we should utilize it in the best possible way. Every moment of this life is so precious that no price can be considered for it. There is a famous tradition from the noble prophet, Man istawa yawmahu fahuwa maghbun. And of course, this tradition has been related or narrated from different infallibles, including the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. So whoever whose 2 years are equal is a loser. This is the meaning of that tradition. We must use our life and our opportunity to praise Allah, to glorify Allah. And of course, the glorious Quran teaches us that unbelievers who do not believe in His religion and the day of resurrection are afraid of death. They wish they could live for 1,000 years or even more, because they have nothing to present to Allah on the day of judgment. And we should understand that since we live in this world for a few years only, so we have to send something before we move on to the next world. This world is transient. This world is mortal. So we have to send forward something so that we can use it. It's a kind of investment for us. This world is a world where we cultivate, where we sow for the next world. So whatever we sow, we will reap it, we will collect it in the hereafter. And whatever we do, we will see the result on the day of judgment. And of course, whatever we do, whatever we commit, whatever we send forward, we will see it on the next world. It's, as I said, this world is a world where we invest, but we will see the result in the hereafter. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every grain of sand in every desert land He knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand He knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash He knows. Every thought I have and every word I share He knows.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
A
A state of shock in America, especially among members of the Native American community, following the identification of over 500 student deaths at U.S. boarding schools. The deaths of Native American children were confirmed as part of the first stage of a federal study of boarding schools that operated for over a century. They were supposed to assimilate the indigenous children into white society between 1819 and 1969. The number of deaths could be only the tip of the iceberg, as the U.S. Interior Department warns that with further investigation, the number of known student deaths could climb to the thousands or even tens of thousands. The initial findings of the comprehensive study have turned a spotlight on the dark history of more than 400 Native American boarding schools notorious for brutal conditions. Hundreds of thousands of indigenous children were forced by the U.S. federal government to attend the institutions. The children were separated from their families by force, forbidden from speaking their languages, and often abused. A large number of them never returned home. The painful legacy of the notorious system operated by the government and churches has been felt deeply across Indian country and through generations. The high-profile federal review was ordered by U.S. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland last year after the discovery of unmarked graves at the site of former residential schools in neighboring Canada.
So it's the same history, really. There's really, the thing is, the United States had such a huge population of Native people, such a wealth of anthropology. If you could imagine what anthropologists today would give to be able to hurriedly record all those languages and take pictures, but they're gone. You can't even record the dead civilizations. And if they were allowed to live, the earth would be so much wealthier. It's really just a terrible, terrible tragedy. That is the real genocide. That's genocide number one.
The U.S. Interior Department's report was released on Wednesday. It highlighted instances of beating, withholding of food and solitary confinement, and other forms of abuse at U.S. boarding schools. U.S. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, whose grandparents attended such schools, seems to be very serious about the investigation. She has ordered her agency to fully investigate what remains of the evidence of the horrific abuses.
Now we are uniquely positioned to assist in the effort to recover the dark history of these institutions that have haunted our families for too long.
She says the consequences of federal Indian boarding school policies, including the trauma caused by the family separation and cultural eradication inflicted on generations of children as young as 4 years old, are heartbreaking and undeniable. Brian Newland, the Assistant Secretary of the Interior for Indian Affairs, believes further investigation is needed to better understand the lasting effects of the boarding school system on American Indians. Newland said there is not a single American Indian, Alaskan Native, or Native Hawaiian in the country whose life has not been impacted by the notorious boarding school system. Meanwhile, the National Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition warned that efforts to find the remains of the indigenous children must continue until the United States fully accounts for the genocide committed against Native American children. The latest findings are shedding light on the plight of Native Americans in the United States. They are still suffering from many problems, including racial discrimination. Pressure is mounting on the U.S. establishment to come to terms with and learn lessons from its dark past.
On May 10, 2021,
Israel began an offensive on the Gaza Strip that went on for 11 days. The regime razed several buildings in the meantime, including a tower housing the bureaus of several news outlets, including Al Jazeera's. The bombings killed over 250 Palestinians in the besieged enclave, including dozens of women and children. But this time, unlike other incidents where Israel launched attacks on the Strip, Palestinian resistance movements struck back hard, killing at least 12 Israelis.
We have to remember that while there have been deaths on both sides, the deaths of Palestinians far outnumber those of the Israelis, probably by close to 1,000 to 1. So there is not a lot of importance given to Palestinian lives. This has been an ongoing, longstanding policy of the world. It's completely unjust. It ignores international law and human rights, but this has been the case. But any efforts to bring rights to the Palestinians, rights that they are entitled to by international law simply because they live, because they exist, will be opposed because no other country wants to risk its economic ties with Israel.
The conflict had been in the making for several weeks prior when Israeli troops intensified their crackdown on Palestinians in the occupied Al-Quds during the holy Muslim month of Ramadan. The protests that had erupted at the regime's attempt to evict several families from the East Al-Quds neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah also escalated tensions. The devastating conflict ended in an Egypt-brokered ceasefire that went into effect on May 21st. The battle, however, significantly altered the perceptions about the military capabilities of Israel and Gaza-based resistance groups. The 2021 confrontation is widely hailed as a victory for Hamas and other resistance movements in Gaza, not only militarily and on the ground, but also morally on an international level. Demonstrations in solidarity with the Palestinians in Gaza and the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood were held across the world. A wider and more diverse group of people around the globe called for an end to the conflict and Israel's aggression, which helped raise awareness about the plight of Palestinians to a much higher extent.
Israeli invisibility can mean a number of things. You're referring to militarily, but there's also the invincibility that it had for so many years as being seen as the victim, the innocent victim just trying to defend itself. That has certainly been shattered. People around the world, even if they support Israel, see Israel as the aggressor.
A year on, Tel Aviv is once again intensifying the pressure on the Palestinians. Israeli forces and settlers have repeatedly raided the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound over the past few weeks, a location that's considered Islam's third holiest site. In response, there has been a spike in the number of deadly Palestinian retaliatory operations across the occupied territories. Palestinians say the attacks are a natural response to Israel's desecration of Al-Aqsa, an issue they warn is their red line. The mounting tensions between Palestinians and Israelis are raising fears about another confrontation. But the events over the past couple of years have indicated that Palestinians will continue to fight for what they believe in and that they can inflict pain on the other side, too.
Europe's largest economy, Germany, is going through a historic phase. Inflation rates have risen sharply, reaching a 40-year high, with soaring energy prices being the key driving force. According to the German Federal Statistics Agency, the Statis, consumer prices were about 7.5% higher in April compared to last year. Berlin also faces an imminent recession in case of a gas supply cut from Russia. The latest remarks by the chief executive officer of a major commercial bank in Germany have increased concerns inside the country. Manfred Knopf has warned that the energy supply in Germany is at risk, which may lead to the spread of bankruptcies in the country. Quoted by a German business newspaper, Knopf said the energy supply is at risk. Supply chains are breaking in addition to high inflation in the country. He also warned that bankruptcies in German markets are probably going to increase. According to the executive, almost a third of Germany's foreign trade has been impacted as well. Germany is facing soaring energy prices and a skyrocketing inflation due to the imposition of sanctions on Russia to pressure Moscow into ending the war in Ukraine. The measures mainly affected the financial sector and the supply of high-tech products. The real crisis in Germany lies in the Russian gas, on which it depends to a large extent. Berlin was one of the opponents within the EU to ban the import of Russian gas, but the scenario changed completely after it announced recently its readiness to accept an immediate ban on Russian oil and gas supplies. According to Forbes, Germany is one of the largest customers of Russian oil, and Berlin depends on a third of its Russian oil imports, 45% of its coal purchases, and 55% of its gas imports from Russia. Economists believe the immediate suspension of Russian energy imports would cause a severe recession in Germany.
The EU is not allowed to stop. This is what Washington ordered, and Washington orders the EU around. And the crazy situation right now is that Washington was never as powerful as it is today. This is especially funny since the American president is a weak president. So obviously somebody else is inserting this pressure into the EU from Washington, and I think that is the American deep state pushing Joe Biden and the EU, both of them. And as long as nobody stops this kind of power wielding, it will continue.
The Russia-Ukraine war is not comparable to any other war in history due to its geoeconomic significance. Both Ukraine and Russia are leading exporters of commodities such as crude, natural gas, iron and steel, wheat and edible oils that have a direct impact on inflation levels in major world economies. The conflict pushed crude prices to over $130 per barrel. There were also price increases on wheat, edible oils, and other commodities. The unilateral sanctions of the West against Russia had the unintended consequence of exacerbated inflation in Europe, East Africa, and South Asia, which were the largest importers of Russian wheat and energy. Despite the detrimental effect of sanctions on global markets, the EU unveiled plans for a Russian oil embargo earlier this week. The measure is expected to come into force within 9 months, with the time frame varying for different petroleum products. But several EU nations, including Hungary, Slovakia, and the Czech Republic, are seeking an exemption from the ban.
And of course, all these sanctions against Russia are completely unfair, unjustified, and for the first time, because we have 8th of May today, and for the first time since the Second World War, a German government is again siding with Nazis and again against Russia. And this really makes Moscow very angry, and the people too.
The founder of Brazil's Workers' Party, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, who served as president for 2 terms from 2003 to 2011, has launched his presidential bid as Brazil's October 2022 presidential elections approach. Economic recovery is his campaign's main promise.
We need to put Brazil back among the best economies in the world.
In an address to his supporters in the city of Sao Paulo, Lula called for unity around democracy. He also stressed the importance of focusing on Brazil's sovereignty and environmental issues. He criticized the performance of incumbent president Jair Bolsonaro, calling his administration incompetent. Bolsonaro faces a tough challenge to win re-election against his political nemesis Lula. The latest polls indicate that Lula maintains a comfortable lead over Bolsonaro. Many Brazilians are angry at the president's handling of the coronavirus pandemic, rising inflation, and high fuel prices. Bolsonaro has been widely criticized for downplaying the coronavirus pandemic from the outset, opposing restrictive measures for fear of damaging the economy. Over 650,000 Brazilians have died of COVID-19. Lula had previously described the huge COVID-19 death toll under Bolsonaro's watch as genocide. In addition, the government's fiscal indiscipline and the prospect of double-digit inflation have prompted the central bank to increase interest rates by 5.75 percentage points since March. Now, Lula says if elected, he has grand plans for Brazil's economy. One of them is to free the country of the US dollar. Lula da Silva has proposed expanding Latin American economic integration through the creation of a common regional currency. Lula says Latin American countries should use a unified regional currency like the euro to end South America's inclination toward the US dollar and to do bilateral trade with each other instead of having to exchange for US dollars. Lula has also vowed to revive the BRICS system, integrating Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa in an independent economic architecture to challenge Western financial hegemony. The five countries represent 41% of the global population, 24% of the global gross domestic product, and 16% of the global trade. Lula da Silva has also vowed to bolster Brazil's relations with other regional countries.
Now that's important because still the US dollar is used for the vast majority of trade in Latin America, and internationally still about 70% of international transactions are done with the dollar. What that does is it strengthens the US economy and it weakens other currencies. So Lula da Silva is saying, why are we continuing to do trade with each other using the US government currency? Why don't we create our own currency to do trade with each other? And I think a lot of countries in the region think that's a very sensible policy.
The Bretton Woods Agreement was negotiated in July 1944 by delegates from 44 countries at the United Nations Monetary and Financial Conference held in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire. Under the Bretton Woods system, gold was the basis for the US dollar and other currencies were pegged to the US dollar's value. Since then, the US dollar has dominated global trade and financial market. But now Washington faces a tough challenge, and that's to keep the crown on US dollar's head as the leading global reserve or fiat currency. For many years, the dollar has been the standard currency used in world trade. The US dollar currently has enormous power to infect the global economy with US inflation and the impact of US interest rate rises, both of which are managed primarily for US domestic purposes. Add to it the economic sanctions the US has imposed against other countries to achieve ends that complement or replace military efforts. Venezuela and Cuba are among the Latin American countries that have been victims of the US sanctions regime. One of the consequences of sanctions is rising inflation levels. Hence, it's natural for these economies to seek ways to circumvent America's sanctions. For instance, since 2011, China gradually shifted from trading in US dollars in favor of trade in yuan. It made agreements with Australia, Russia, Japan, Brazil, and Iran to trade in national currencies. It has been reported that in the first quarter of 2020, the share of the dollar in the bilateral trade between China and Russia fell below 50% for the first time.
It's an objective fact that the dollar is becoming less powerful over time. Even the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, which is dominated by the United States, has acknowledged that the use of dollars in international central bank reserves has been decreasing. Now, it's decreasing slowly. It's not going to disappear overnight. But in decades, I think it's quite clear that the hegemony that we've seen of the US dollar dominating the international financial system is over.
Most economies are establishing different mechanisms to circumvent the US sanctions regime and the hegemony of the US dollar. These range from using barter trade to trading in their currencies over the dollar. The world is moving toward multipolarity, and the US is no longer the world's largest trading nation, it's China. Therefore, it's only a matter of time before the US dollar loses its dominance among global currencies.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pitch.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamidi.
Islamidi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
time. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to the IRIB English Radio. This is the Youth Station. I am your host, Zainab Askari, and I have with me Zainab.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam. How are you, Zainab?
I'm good. I'm pretty good. Assalamu alaikum to our listeners. Thank you so very much for being with us on this episode of Youth Station. So,
Zainab, what do you think we should discuss today?
Since it's Youth Station, we should most probably talk about something that's most related to the youth. Here's the thing. Here's a catch with being a youth, a youngster, a noob, a greenhorn, if you may, in life. Is that though it comes with pros and cons, and the pros and cons are just so, like, they're in such stark contrast with each other.
True.
On one hand, you're full of energy.